And turning to John in chapter 3, pardon me, I would like to read the first 9 verses. And again, giving you a moment, and as you find your place, you can just indicate so by rising, if you would, if you're able, and if you're willing. We rise for the reading of the Word of God.
Amen.
Out of respect for God and His Word. And so I see you've risen, and I take it that you've found your place. And we'll read the first 9 verses here of John chapter 3, and we'll end with the last question in verse 9. The Bible here reads, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews." And pardon me, I'd forgotten to put this on. I will put it on. "The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him."
Amen.
"Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God."
That's right.
"Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell where it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him," and this is what I would like to preach, "how can these things be?" And Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for your precious Spirit over these last 2 days, 2 nights. And we thank you, Lord, for everyone that's gathered here tonight. And Lord, as we're gathered here in your name, I ask you, Lord, to be with us. I ask you to help me to preach, Lord, beyond my mental ability. Let it be your word that comes forth, Lord, and not my ideas. Lord, please help me to have clarity, that I might sound clearly, Lord, your word. I ask you, Lord, to move throughout these aisles. Help us all to hear your word, Lord Jesus. Lord, with clear spiritual hearing, I ask you, Lord, to help us all, those who are saints of God, Lord Jesus, that they be strengthened in their walk with you. Lord, we're met here for a revival meeting. I pray, Lord, make alive, Lord, those that are yours, Lord, and refresh them, Lord, if it be your will, Lord, and I believe it is. And I ask you, Lord, if there be any here that are lost and undone without you, Lord, whether they admit the facts or whether they be hiding, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would deal with them tonight. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to uncover, Lord, that soul that's out there and hiding from you. I ask you, Lord, to make their seat uncomfortable. Lord, I ask you, Lord, to deal with them tonight, Lord, and let them see their place and let them see their path and let them see the direction in which they're headed, Lord. And I pray especially tonight, Lord Jesus, that if there be any lost and without you, that you would, Lord, guide them in, lighten them up, and lead them into your kingdom, Lord. Deal with them, Lord Jesus, to salvation. And we pray this, Lord Jesus, in your holy and in your precious name. Amen. You may be seated. Correctly reading. How can these things be? Now, we give people sometimes a hard time more than we ought to, and such is the case often with Nicodemus. One thing you must needs know is that, particularly with the Jewish rabbis, it was a custom that they would learn by, when they were speaking to someone who was more learned than them, they would learn by asking them questions, basically what we would call tossing up a softball and letting them hit it.
Yeah.
And so when Nicodemus began to ask these first questions, what he was doing was say, "Lord, you need to explain this to me. You know more than I do."
Yeah.
When he asked, In verse 4, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Now, he knew that wasn't possible.
Right.
What he was seeking from Jesus was a further explanation.
Yeah.
Now, we give him a hard time there, and we ought not.
No.
What he was doing was being honest before the Lord and saying, "I need that one explained."
Amen.
Amen. Does anybody ever read through the Bible and have to look at the Lord and say, "I need that one explained"?
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
But I do believe that by the time you get to this, in verse 9, When Nicodemus says, how can these things be? I don't even know if he thought about that. I think that one just escaped his lips. I think he just got to that point and the Lord is so far past him that he just looked and said, how can these things be? The Lord was talking about a new birth. Now, and again, you got to realize that the Jewish people believed that they were children of Abraham, therefore they went to heaven.
Yeah.
They believed that their birth that they'd already had was sufficient. Mm-hmm. The fact that they were born in the seed of Abraham was sufficient. Mm-hmm. And here comes Jesus saying, no! Ye must be born again.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah.
Now we were Gentiles,
right,
and we were without God and aliens from the commonwealth of God.
Yeah, right.
But yet this same truth is true of us too. Our first birth wasn't sufficient either. But we also must be born again if we're to enter into the kingdom of God. And that's what I want to preach about tonight. Taking this question, how can these things be? I'd like to preach to you about a spiritual birth. Because if you see what Jesus is talking about, he points out a natural and a spiritual birth. He says you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. Now a lot of people argue about what that water means, but I don't really care what you say it means. It points to something natural. If you say it points to baptism, that's natural. It's on the outside. If you tell me, well, that what that points to is the natural birth of a baby being born through the water of its mother. Well, it's still natural. If you say, well, it has to do with the fulfillment of the law and all the legal requirements, well, that's still given to natural man. Whatever you want to say that water has to do with the natural.
Yeah.
But the Spirit is Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. And the spiritual birth is what we're here to preach about tonight. Ye must be born again.
Yeah.
Now as far as how can these things be, this thing has been something that's escaped men's minds all throughout time.
Right.
We've not known how to reconcile ourselves to God. And we've tried all kinds of ways. And then here comes Jesus saying you must be born again.
Yeah.
And we can't make it out in our minds. How can these things be? You know, when the rich young ruler came up to Jesus and Jesus told him to sell all that he had and give it to the poor, and the rich young ruler went off.
Yeah.
Jesus said some more remarkable statements. He said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than was for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Now look, what he said was a real camel and a real needle.
Yeah.
It didn't have nothing to do with a rope and a needle. It didn't have nothing to do with a camel getting on his knees and going through a wall. And none of that. I've heard all of that. That ain't what he said. You look it up, what he's talking about was a real camel going through the eye of a real needle.
Yeah.
And his disciples looked right at him and said, who then can be saved?
Uh-oh.
They didn't say he can't be saved. They said, who then?
Yeah.
Because they knew that what Jesus was describing was completely impossible.
Yeah.
And Jesus didn't correct them. He said, with men, it is impossible.
Yeah.
But with God, all things are possible.
Amen.
You must be born again.
Amen.
How can these things be? Well, first off, we have to figure out what a new birth is.
Right.
What is a spiritual birth? Because until we understand what a spiritual birth is, how can we even look to find out how these things can be?
That's right.
And so I tell you that a new birth, if you want to find it, first off, look at what born again means. Born means to be created. And again means over again. And we find that what that is regeneration. Generated again. Regeneration means born again. Paul talked about it. Peter talked about it. You know why they talked about it? Because it happened to them.
Yeah.
By the way, if it happens to you, you'll talk about it too.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Being born again means a new creation. A new creature is how the Bible describes it. That means that you're a new creature. In 2 Corinthians in chapter 5 and verse 17, says, therefore, if any man now, this isn't part of the Christian world, this isn't just the super saints, but rather if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Not he shall be, not he's working on being one, but he is.
Amen.
If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature.
Amen.
Amen. That means that he's been regenerated. He has been born again.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it even says more about this new creature. It says old things are passed away.
Yeah.
That's right. Old things are passed away. Brother, I'm going to tell you, before I was saved, I was a drunk.
Amen.
I wasn't an alcoholic. That's a cop out. I was a drunk. That's reality.
Amen.
That's right. Amen. You describe it how you want to. I deal with reality. I was a drunk. Now, when God saved me, I went home and got the saint drunk because I didn't need it no more. I didn't. It didn't take me 12 steps. It took me one step, and the Lord can do that for anybody, and I know He can because He did it for me.
Amen.
Old things passed away.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, indeed.
If you get born again, old things pass away. I didn't say they ought to pass away. I said they do. They do. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. All things. I tell you, when I got saved, I felt as ignorant as a little newborn baby. Not because somebody told me I ought to, but because I just did. It was like every day, everything was new. Well, guess what it was?
Yes.
Amen. This Bible's not theory to me. This Bible's a description of what I know. It's a description of what happened to me.
Yeah.
Amen. I believe in this thing of being born again.
Amen.
Amen. Who here has been born again?
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
I hope it's true.
Yeah.
I hope it's true. I really do.
Yeah.
I love to see born again people and be around born again people. By the way, By the way, your countenance will tell on you. Amen. Your countenance will tell on you as to whether or not... That's right. Your spirit will bear witness as to whether or not you know what the spiritual things are. It says again, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. You know what that means by circumcision or uncircumcision? That means that it don't matter if you follow just the right formula and the right law or not. What matters is whether or not you're a new creature.
Amen.
If somebody comes up and tells you that you did it wrong, they don't know anything. I'm telling you, that's not the way it is.
No.
It ain't got nothing to do with the way you did nothing.
No.
What it's got to do with is whether or not you're a new creature.
Amen.
Whether or not you've been born again.
Amen.
Amen. And if you've been born again, don't worry about how God did it. Just thank God for it. Amen.
Amen.
I'm glad that God didn't require me to cross the T's right or dot the I's right, or I'd still be back there dotting T's and crossing I's. I'd still be getting it wrong. But I thank God that neither circumcision nor uncircumcision mean nothing to God but a new creature. Amen. You must be born again. And 1 John, now by the way, this thing, since old things pass away, since old things are new, that means that there are some new loves and there are some new deeds. That's right. You know, I don't love the same thing I used to love, but I got some new loves. I remember before I was saved, if you come around me singing songs about the old rugged cross and singing about nothing but the blood, it didn't mean nothing to me. It really didn't. I mean, I didn't hate you for it or nothing, but it just was stuff. I didn't care nothing about that. I was trying to listen to Hank Williams Jr. or I was trying to listen to Leonard Skinner, or I was trying to listen to some kind of garbage. And by the way, once I got saved, I didn't want to hear that no more. Amen. And if you get born again, you won't want to hear it no more either. Amen. But I had some new love put in me. And that I went to work the next day.
Yeah,
and people had already heard, and they were standing way back looking at me.
Because
everybody was wanting to know what happened, but they wasn't about to ask.
No.
Ain't that something? People want to know, but they don't want to ask.
Right. Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, they're afraid of the truth. Everybody knew something was different. How'd they know that?
Right. Yeah.
I was just sitting there, just working away.
Oh, yeah.
And I couldn't remember. I didn't know no gospel songs. Yo, I still don't know what they play on the radio. I don't even fool with it. But I remember them little songs from when I was a little kid.
Yeah.
And just sitting there singing, Jesus loves me, this I know. Hey, I'm going to tell you what. Some of those little kid songs are better gospel songs than anything they got on the radio. I'll tell you what, there's some power in some of those songs. I had a new love for some new things. And that's right. Amen. And it says in 1 John chapter 3, In verse 14, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Now listen to me here. Everybody likes to say, well, yeah, that's true, man. I love the brethren. Let me tell you something. If you love the brethren, you're going to go meet up with them whenever you can.
That's right.
Amen. Y'all know what we call that? Assembling ourselves together. That's what we call having church. Listen, if you love the brethren, you want to be around them.
Yeah.
You want to get around the preaching. You want to get around the saints. Amen. Amen. It means more to you than deer hunting. Amen. That's right. Amen. If you really love the brethren, you love them more than fish. That's right. If you really love the brethren, you love them more than any TV show there is out there. And you know what? If you really love the brethren, it's more important for you to get in the house of God than it is for you to take your son and daughter to a ball game. Amen. Amen. I had some, hey, I'm just trying to tell you the truth. What you do with it's your problem. But if you love the brethren, you'll get around them when you can. Amen. I had some new love put in my life. And first, and by the way, you say, I love the brethren, I love the brethren. Well, there's a proof verse for this. Same book, 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verse 2. It says, by this we know that we love the children of God. How about that? Everybody says they love the brethren, right? Well, how do you know you love the brethren? By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. Amen. Look, you out there running and sinning and sinning and running, don't you go lying to me about how much you love the brethren. That's right. Ain't no sense of being a liar and a stupid one on top of that. Hey, I'm telling you, if you love the brethren, you also love God, and you're trying your best to do His will. You're trying your best. And when the preacher gets up there and preaches something out there that Paul wrote, and you say, well, I don't want to do that.
Uh-oh.
Where's your love of God?
Amen.
Where's your love of God? When you sit back and you say, that preacher ain't going to do that clothesline preaching again, are you? Is he? Preach about how we dress again, is he? Well, if it's in the Bible, he better.
That's right.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
And if it's God's commandment, somebody better be listening.
Amen.
Amen. By this we know we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments.
That's right.
Amen. Anyhow.
Amen.
Get some new love when you get born again.
That's right.
Get some new love. As a matter of fact, Jesus Himself said in John chapter 14 and verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. Listen, I told y'all, this thing ain't complicated. I didn't say it ain't hard. I said it ain't complicated. Do you love Him?
Yeah.
Well, it don't matter what you tell me anyhow. You're telling the whole world how much you love Him by whether or not you keep His commandments.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
I wish I loved Him more.
Amen.
Do you mind me confessing that?
No.
I'm just going to tell you that I find out, I look at myself sometimes and I'm ashamed.
Amen.
I'm ashamed of myself that I don't love Him more than I do.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. But I want to love Him more.
Oh, indeed.
Amen. I want to love Him more.
Yeah.
I want to do a better job.
Yeah.
I want to keep His commandments better enough so that when I go before Him, I don't mind saying, Lord, I'm sorry I did it again.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Help me, Lord. I don't want to do this no more.
Right.
You know, I've spoke ill of my brother in front of another brother, and I should have shut my mouth.
Right.
And by the way, sir, I don't want to hear what's wrong with your wife. And ma'am, I don't want to hear what's wrong with your husband. Shut up and keep it at home. Amen. And if you do that, it might help me. Maybe I'll shut up and keep my problems at home too. We need to do that, y'all. That's right. That's right. Love covereth all sin.
That's
right. If we love each other, we won't go around talking about each other. And we won't go around talking about each other and running each other down.
Amen.
That's right. And sometimes I go to bed at night or wake up in the morning and have to ask God for forgiveness for I've done a poor job of showing my love for Him. But I thank God that He's long-suffering. I thank God He's merciful. I thank God His mercies are new every morning. Now you can say what you will. It says old things are passed away, behold, all things are new. I've got one more there about new loves. And for 1 John in chapter 3 and verse 10. You want a verse to circle. Here's a good one. First John chapter 3 and verse 10. And this one right here will get you staring in the mirror sometimes.
Yes.
Says, in this the children of God are manifest. You know what manifest means? It means shown. When the light's manifest, it's shown out there. And you can say what you want to about you, is you is or is you ain't a child of God. But here's where it comes down to. In this the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. How about that? You say, you can't tell on the outside. The Bible says you can right here. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God.
Amen.
How about that? I didn't write that, everybody. I just read it out loud. But I didn't write that. The Holy Ghost wrote that. That's right. He used John, but the Holy Ghost wrote that. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. No matter how much they tell me, well, preacher, I got saved when I was 7 years old. I'll come see y'all sometime at church. Listen, that don't impress me, and it don't impress God. It don't impress your drunk wife with you either. And I can't tell you how many times. Look, y'all go ahead and laugh. Some of this is your kids and grandkids telling me this stuff.
That's right.
Because I go around and visit folks and try to see if they're interested in the Lord Jesus Christ and get them to come to church.
Right.
And they'll sit there and from house to house to house. They're drinking the same beer, smoking the same cigarettes, living with the same shacked up woman or man or whatever it is they're living with, and tell me they all right because they got saved somewhere at Vacation Bible School, and they're lost as a ball in high weeds, and they're going to die and go to hell if something don't happen, and they believe they got saved over something they did. Y'all, in this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. It says, whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God.
Amen.
Amen. You don't have to tell me about whether or not you got saved. It's amazing. So people find out you're a preacher, first thing they want to do is preach to you. And the first sermon they preach is self-justification. And they do it every time I walk up to them. Well, preacher, I'm all right, but God start telling me why. Look, I'm not the one that grades your paper. I ain't the one that asked that. I don't know why they do that. But I'm telling you that how you live tells on you no matter what I think.
That's good, bro.
That's right. I tell you, like the old preacher said, I don't know who it was many years ago. If you is what you was, you ain't. That's right. And that's right. Well, we need to have spiritual birth. You must be born again. How can these things be? How can these things be? Well, let's get to it then. And we know we need spiritual birth. And let me ask you this now, or let me say this. If you know that there's been no change in you, if you know your desires are not any different, and if you know that the things you love never did change, then you might be the one I came here to preach to, and certainly this is for you. Now I know I can say, who's on the Lord's side? Everybody say, amen. Well, that's good. I mean, it sounds good. It sounds good. I can do that. I can draw a line in the sand. I can say, everybody's on the Lord's side, come forward. And everybody come up here and that looks good.
Yeah.
But I still don't know.
Right.
I still don't know.
Come on.
In your individual cases, I really hope everything's all right with you and the Lord. I really do.
Amen.
I really do.
Yeah.
And I don't know anything about you, and you don't know anything about me. But I know according to Scripture, there's an awful lot of folks that are deceived and think they're all right with God that aren't.
Amen.
And so I believe that it's right, and I believe that it's always pertinent to preach about salvation in a church full of people to say they're saved. Because occasionally somebody realizes that, you know, I never changed.
Yeah.
You know, it ain't no different for me. And occasionally the light comes on for somebody. And I won't say this before I go any further.
Come on.
If you're in here tonight and the light does come on for you, I'm not against you.
No.
And neither is any child of God.
Right.
We're for you.
Yes.
And we're not here to embarrass you
or
humiliate you.
Right. Yeah.
But what we'd love to see is for you to be reconciled with God.
Amen.
What we'd love to see is for you to be born again.
Yeah.
And we're not holding this over your head like a hammer, but we're offering it out like a plate.
Amen.
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 And if you're in here and you're interested in, how is it then that I get born again? How can these things be? Let's look into this thing now. How can these things be? First, I want to tell you some things about how a spiritual birth is not accomplished. Because the Bible has somewhat to say about how spiritual birth is not accomplished. Because there's a lot of people over the years, not just in our time, but ever since the days of Jesus Christ, who went out and preached all sorts of things about spiritual birth, and they were just as wrong as they could be. And the first thing you'll find in the book of John, in chapter 1, in verse 12. And verse 12 and 13, I should say. In the book of John, chapter 1, verse 12 and 13, it says, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name," look in verse 13, "which were born not of blood." Now, when he said blood, that word is actually bloods, and it means bloodlines.
Yeah.
What it's saying there is they wasn't born into the kingdom of God by who their mama and their daddy was. And again, going house to house to house and talking with people, I run across an awful lot of them that tell me that they grew up in this church or that church, and y'all know in our area it'll be this Baptist church or that Pentecostal church or that Catholic church, and that's about 99% of everybody. And a lot of times they try to impress on me about how spiritual that church was. Y'all, that don't mean nothing.
Amen.
It don't mean nothing. My mama was a praying woman, but that sure didn't do nothing for me and my soul. I had to reach out to God myself, and you do too.
Yeah.
Your bloodline won't get you there. Yeah. And if your daddy was a deacon, that's fine for your daddy, but that ain't going to get you in.
Amen.
There's more to it than your bloodline. And your granddaddy was a preacher, and your granddaddy's daddy was a preacher, and his daddy was a preacher. That was mighty good for them, but that won't get you in. Born not of blood. Not of blood. It says, nor of the will of the flesh. Now, I got something here. It might fly a little backwards to you, but it's the way it is. However it applies to you. Not of the will of the flesh. You can't want to be saved in your mind and get there off the will of your flesh.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, right.
Salvation, people, is the work of God.
Yeah.
It's the work of God.
Amen.
And because you decided, okay, God, I'm going to go ahead and take you up on it now, don't get it done.
Right.
Don't get it done.
Right.
First off, your spirit is never going to be awakened by your mind.
Right.
It's not going to happen.
Uh-huh.
You're not going to change your heart by the power of your mind.
Right.
That's right. That's right.
Amen.
Salvation's in the heart. And you can't make up your heart.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
You can make up your mind. Somebody go ahead. You know, your heart means everything about the person and character of who you are.
Yeah.
Somebody change everything about the person and character of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. I'm waiting.
No.
It ain't going to happen, is it?
No, it's
not. You can change your mind. See, that's why it's more than a mental decision.
Right.
If all it was a mental decision, see, you could decide to be saved today, lost tomorrow, saved today. You could just change it all the time. And that's not what it's all about, people. It's not of the will of the flesh. That's in my Bible. Is it in your Bible?
Amen.
If it ain't in your Bible, you need to go get your King James Bible.
Amen.
It's not of the will of the flesh. There's more to it than a mental decision.
That's right.
That's why signing a card don't mean nothing.
Right.
That's why repeating words don't do it. It don't get the job done.
Amen.
Furthermore, nor of the will of man. That means nobody else can just want you to be saved so bad you're going to get saved.
Right.
That means that your preacher, your deacon, your Sunday school teacher, your mother, your father, your grandfather, your grandmother, all of them put together can't come up with ways to get you saved and make it happen.
Amen.
That ain't the way salvation works.
Amen.
Salvation's not a man. God's not going to share His glory with another man. No.
Amen.
No. No.
Amen.
Salvation's of God.
Amen.
It is a supernatural, not a natural, supernatural work of God.
Amen.
Salvation is something only God can work.
Amen.
You can't come through me and say, "Let me get saved, preacher. I've got nothing to do with it."
Amen.
So if you come to me and ask me what to say, who am I?
Right.
Yeah.
Go to God. He's the one that's in charge of salvation. I'm not. I can't tell you the words to say. Neither can any other man, by the way.
Right.
It's not of the will of men. It's not of the will of man.
Amen.
But of God,
right.
It says. But of God. Those three words right there mean everything. The only way that you're going to be born again as if it's of the will of God.
Amen.
If He Himself has chosen you, if He's got, and I'm not trying to talk in some Calvinist sense. I believe that everybody has an opportunity, and I believe you can turn it down. But I believe this too. If you're going to step into waters, waters have to be troubled. In other words, the Holy Ghost has to get a hold of you and draw you to Him. And parents, I got something for you on this, please. And I'm not railing on you at all. I'm trying to encourage you on something. Raise your children up to know that one day God's going to deal with them.
Amen.
Raise them up to know that there's going to come a day when they're going to know that God's dealing with them, and that whenever that they know that the Holy Ghost is drawn into me, and to run and go.
Amen.
Run and go.
Amen.
And follow that calling.
Yes.
Yeah.
How else is it not accomplished? According to Ephesians, and chapter 2 and verse 8 and 9, and we know this very well, we quote it all the time, says, "For by grace are you saved through faith." And by the way, if you're preaching any kind of salvation that ain't by faith, you ain't preaching salvation.
Right.
"For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's the gift of God, not of works."
Amen.
Not of works. That means don't look to me for no 1, 2, 3, A, B, C, saved you, B. That ain't the way it works. If I could prescribe you something to do, it wouldn't have been no need for Jesus to come down and die on the cross. If you could work it out yourself, if you could do good, if you could earn it, then there wouldn't have been no need for the crucifixion. Amen. So I can't prescribe you a way or a method of getting saved. I can't tell you that if you'll pray real hard until you feel something, you'll be saved. That's still a work. That's still a work. Who am I to tell you how to be saved? I'm not the one that saves. Now you say, "Well, brother, you leave me out here in the dry." I'm going to get there. I got to empty out all of them. First off, I got to close all the doors that don't go to salvation. Then we'll go through the door. It's not going to be your self-will. And it ain't going to be of your works. You can't earn it. You can't do good enough. You can't tell me, "Well, I'm just a good old boy. And I think the Lord likes good old country boys."
Uh-oh.
Well, I tell you what. He likes the ones who get saved.
Amen.
But His wrath abides on sinners. Amen. Whether they're a country boy or not. And I don't care if you talk to me and throw your finger in your pants and throw your hat on sideways and start talking to me like a good old boy. That don't mean nothing.
No.
Start telling me how much that you like to take care of everybody and you're the one that your family turns to. So what?
Yeah.
What'd you do with Jesus?
Amen. Amen.
You can't get old boy your way into heaven.
No.
It don't work that way.
No.
1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. We know it's not of your will. We know it's not of your works. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. And then verse 19. But verse 18 said, "For as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver as gold, from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." He said, you wasn't redeemed by things like silver and gold.
No.
That's right. You can't buy your way into heaven. There ain't no money that's going to do it for you. And the fact that you gave $10,000 to the church when you got that settlement, that's nice and that's good. But if you think that got you any power with the church, you didn't really give it to the church. And if you think that gets you an extra vote, you didn't give it to the church. And if you think the fact that your granddaddy built a church means that they ought to listen to you, then I'm telling you something. You got everything backwards.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
If you give $100,000 to a church and expect to be a deacon, you don't even know what a deacon is.
Right.
And by the way, since I got the car right there, let's park it for a second. If you want to be a deacon, go back there and clean the toilets. Amen. Mow the grass. That's right. Get you and your wife, because ain't no man ought to ever visit a woman alone. Go to you and your wife. You do have one, I hope.
Oh.
Amen. I mean, and I do hope that that's not your third or fourth one. And it's right. The Bible's the Bible. And go over and visit the widows.
You're right.
Yeah.
You want to be a deacon, that's what you do.
Yeah.
The word deacon means a servant or a slave.
Yeah.
No deacon ruled anything in the Bible.
Amen.
Ever.
That's right.
Ever.
That's right.
I got quiet enough. I know I hit something there. When everybody's hollering amen, I ain't done no preaching yet. But something got hit there. I'm going to tell you that your money don't mean nothing to God.
That's right.
And your granddaddy's money don't mean nothing to God.
Yeah.
And you don't rule the church, whoever you are. It ain't your church. Jesus Christ said upon this rock, I will build my church. And there ain't no other church. You don't got no church. You didn't build one. And it ain't yours.
Amen.
And by the way, if it's the church of the living God, you better be careful how you treat it.
Amen. Amen. Yeah.
Well, it's not accomplished. Spiritual birth is not accomplished by your bloodlines, by your will, by the will of anybody else. It's not accomplished by works. And you were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold. And in Acts chapter 8 and verse 13, I want you to look at a special case here that brings home some things. In Acts chapter 8, we find where Philip went down to Samaria. The Lord Jesus Christ said that the gospel was spread from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the uttermost parts of the earth.
Amen.
And if you look, that's an outline of the book of Acts. You'll see that the gospel spread just like Jesus said it would, from Jerusalem through Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. And in chapter 8, it's in Samaria, and Philip's preaching, and there's been a great move of God and a revival down there, if you will. And you see that among the people who got saved was one Simon, a magician or a sorcerer. And in verse 13 it says, then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. So what's this got to do with anything, preacher? I'm getting there. You hang on. This is the same Simon that in verse 21 Peter said that he perceived, thy heart is not right with God.
Right.
He never made it in, but it says he believed. Yeah. It says he was baptized. And it says he continued. Are y'all with me?
Come on.
There is a belief that's not the salvation.
That's right.
Yeah.
Simon believed, but apparently, his belief was not that soul-changing,
right,
new birth belief. His belief was not that committed belief where he said, Lord Jesus Christ, I commit everything to you. I don't trust nothing else. No, he believed all right. He believed it. I think he believed in the facts. He believed that other people had something. He believed there was something real about it. But he had a belief that was not the salvation. There is a belief that's not the salvation.
Right.
Yeah.
Now I tell you that all you have to do is believe, but you better understand what that word believe means.
Indeed.
Yeah. In our day, we think of believe as being less than the word know. We believe something that we think might be true, but we know something that absolutely is true. But when the Lord Jesus Christ said for us to believe in Him, He was talking about a belief that exceeded knowledge.
Yeah.
He's talking about a belief whereby we committed everything to Him. And I'll put it to you this way. If Jesus Christ is not the only Savior, then I'm doomed to hell.
Oh, yeah.
That's the commitment.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
Simon had a belief that was not the salvation.
That's right.
And I believe that according to Scripture, there's many, many that have that same belief.
Oh, yeah.
Because the Scripture says there's many on that day who will say, Lord,
right,
have we not done marvelous works in Thy name? Have we not cast out demons in Thy name?
On,
and yet the Lord will say, depart from me,
right,
you the workers of iniquity. I never knew you.
Amen.
So there is a belief that's not the salvation.
Yeah.
So there's more to it than mental belief.
Right.
More to it than mental belief. It has to be the real stuff.
Amen.
There's more to it than baptism.
Yeah.
Simon went in the same water that the rest of them went into, and they were saved, and he was not.
That's right.
Yeah.
And you can get dunked in water following any kind of formula you want to, as many times as you want to,
right,
and all it'll do is make you smell better. Yeah. It won't get you saved.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Water, the water baptism, is a picture of what happened on the inside.
Yeah.
It says, by one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body. The real baptism. And by the way, I covered this last night, and I'll probably hit it again tonight. And I might hit it again tomorrow night. Because the real baptism is of the Spirit. It says, we by one Spirit are all baptized into one body. And it says, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. There's one baptism. We're baptized by one Spirit into one body. What we do with water is a picture of what happened.
That's right.
Right.
Now, if nothing happened on the inside, you didn't do nothing but paint a false picture.
That's right.
And that's all you did. Simon, it says, believed and was baptized and continued.
Yeah.
And continued. You say, brother, I know I'm saved. I've been going to church 30 years. Simon continued.
Yeah.
Until he got called out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Why do people go to church 30 years then all of a sudden get offended and then stomp out and never come back again?
Uh-oh.
Maybe they got called out on it.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. I ain't talking about by the preacher.
No.
I'm talking about by the Holy Ghost of God.
Amen.
Maybe they got called out on it.
That's right.
Because then again, like I said, if you love the brethren, you'll want to assemble with them.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. You say, brother, you're trying to preach an awful lot of people not saved. No, I'm not. I'm just preaching the truth and let the chips fall where they may.
Amen.
I didn't say nobody was saved or not saved.
That's right.
And if you think I'm calling you not saved, that ain't me ringing your bell.
Amen. Right.
Amen.
That's
right.
So you can believe with your mind, that won't do it.
No.
You can be baptized, and all it does is get you wet.
That's right.
Yeah.
And you can continue. And that won't do it either.
No.
Right.
Y'all, we spend an awful lot of time trying to get people to come to church, and that's a good thing.
No.
I'm all in favor of it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But I think we put a little too much stock on it sometimes.
Come on.
Trying to get my kids back in church.
Yeah.
I'm hoping my husband or my wife is back in church, back in church, back in church. Well, I ain't saying that's bad, but it'd be a little better if I got saved.
Amen.
Amen. Be a little better if I got born again.
Right.
Amen. I think your house would be a little better and it'd last a little bit longer if I got born again.
Amen.
So it would be better on the eternal things if they got born again. So then how then is spiritual birth accomplished? Went through all of that on how it's not done. How is it then? How can these things be? How can these things be? Well, and don't worry, I'm not going to keep you here all night. How is it salvation's accomplished? Well, I'm going to tell you, the first thing is through preaching. And that's right, I said through preaching. In 1 Corinthians, in chapter 1, and verse 21, and if you're a preacher in here, you definitely need to have this verse underlined or circled or something. I don't care if you take and circle it with a magic marker. You need to know this verse if you're a preacher. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and 21, "For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." How is it that people get saved? Through the foolishness of preaching. Amen. I'm all for singing. I love to sing and I love to hear good singing. But that ain't what drives people to the altar. It's the preaching of the Word of God. And there's a difference between preaching and teaching. And I'm all for teaching, by the way. And a church needs to be taught. And it says of a bishop that he ought to be apt to teach.
Yes.
And so teaching's good.
Right.
But that's not what gets the souls to the altar.
No.
The difference between preaching and teaching is the authority.
Right.
We teach facts, but we preach truth.
Amen.
And when we preach, you have the authority of God behind it. And when I preach to you, ye must be born again. It's not my authority that's getting into your heart. It's the authority of the Holy Ghost of God,
yeah,
because He will take His Word and accomplish His will.
Amen.
And if you'll bring your children to a church,
right,
and one of these men preaches to them week in and week out about salvation, about sin,
yeah,
about the holiness of God,
right,
about heaven and about hell, I'll assure you there's going to be a time when those children you bring to the house of God are going to feel that tug of conviction and understand that they're a sinner before God exceedingly, and they'll have a desire to be saved. And if you've trained them that that time was going to come, and if you've told them that when that comes, run to God. Run to God. You can see your children saved. It's through the foolishness of preaching. Through the foolishness of preaching. And preaching is foolish to this world. They say y'all just rant and rail and spit and slobber. And I don't care if that's how it looks to you. That's fine and dandy. It sounds good to my God. Amen. He's the one that ordained the foolishness of preaching. And if you don't like it, I don't care. But me and God love it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Through the foolishness of preaching.
Yeah.
And through a spiritual call, I told you, by one Spirit, we're baptized into one body. It is a spiritual call. If you're in here tonight, and something's wrong, If something about what I'm preaching don't line up with you, you ought to be concerned.
Oh, indeed, sir.
But if it don't line up and you know you need to get it right, that's more than just me talking to you.
That's right. That's right.
And if you've got some controversy going on inside you, should I go or shouldn't I go? Can I tell you something? I didn't put a controversy inside you.
That's right.
I didn't preach two messages, you should and you shouldn't go. I did not do that.
That's right.
I preached you should go.
Amen.
If you got a controversy inside you, there's something going on.
There you go.
Yeah.
Come on.
And I am not going to beg you, but I'm going to command you.
Come on.
I'm going to command you. Ye must be born again.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something. The gospel is not begging.
No.
The gospel is a command from God.
Right.
Amen.
That's right.
He did not tell us, I hope you'll be born again.
No.
Right. He said, you must be born again.
That's right.
You say, you can't give commands. I can repeat God's command.
That's right.
You say, I don't have the power to do it. In the word of the King, there's power. Wherever God commanded you anything, the fact He commanded you gave you the power to do it.
Right.
Yeah.
And by the way, that's where the power to be born again comes from.
Amen.
From the command of God.
That's right.
The fact that He said you must be born again gives you the power to do it.
Amen.
To them that received Him, He gave the power to be the sons of God.
Yeah.
That's right. The power comes from the command of God itself. It's a spiritual call.
Yeah.
It says born again. Have you ever looked at that? The birth of a child? A baby follows the leading of a force it does not understand when it is born. It follows a force that is greater than it, that it's never felt before, but yet it follows that force.
Yeah.
And it has to leave all of the knowledge that it's ever had. The whole world that it's known, it has to leave behind.
Yeah.
That's right. It says you must be born again.
That's right.
Has to leave all of the comfort that it's ever known. And the Lord said you must be born again. You must leave all the knowledge you have. You must leave all the comfort that you have.
Yeah.
You must leave the warmth of the surroundings that you have. You must be born again.
Yes.
And that force draws you on.
Amen.
Amen.
You must go toward the light.
That's right.
Has to leave its own life support behind.
Yeah.
Try it.
Yeah.
A baby has to die to the very life support it's had.
Yeah.
You must be born again.
Yeah.
You say, I can't. I know what I'd have to leave behind. So do I. Everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
That's right.
That's right. Everything.
Yeah.
Say, I thought it wouldn't cost me nothing. Well, you're going to lose everything anyhow, so I guess you can say it don't cost you nothing.
Amen.
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 We have to die to everything we know.
Amen.
And step into a new life.
Amen.
A new life. You know, that baby in the womb, it hears sounds on the other side, but it don't understand them. But when it's born into that new world, then it can understand it. And if you've never been born again, these sounds that you hear, you don't understand them. You don't understand them. But if you're ever born again, you'll understand them just fine. Amen. Amen. And a church meeting will go, it'll quit being a boring time. It'll quit being one of them things where you stare at your watch and say, I hope that didn't start the ball game yet. And it'll become something that you want to have.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, what can you do? Well, if I know I need to close it out, what can you do? Well, first off, there ain't a whole lot you can do. Amen, that's right. It's too late. That's right, it's too late. Work's already been done. Ain't no work you can do. It's already been done. What you can do is you can hear God and do not fight the Holy Ghost. You can follow the call that's given. I told you, if you're being called to this altar, it's not me that's calling you. I've commanded you, but the call comes from the Spirit of God.
Amen.
It says in 2 Corinthians in chapter 7 and verse 10, a verse that you know well, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. See, this thing of being sorry, there is a sorry that's good and a sorry that's bad. There's a sorrow that's just, I'm sorry that I'm caught. I'm sorry that I'm going to hell. I'm sorry that I'm not good enough. That's not it. Godly sorrow is that sorrow He works in you.
That's right.
Yeah.
And He works it under repentance. Repentance is a gift of God too, because repentance is a change of heart. And I already told you, you can't do that God has to do that.
Amen.
But it's through the sorrow that He puts in you.
Right.
Are you comfortable where you're at? God ain't calling you much. But if He calls you, you won't be comfortable there no more.
That's right.
You may turn Him down, but you won't be comfortable.
Amen.
He got me so uncomfortable. He got me to the point that the day I got saved, I thought if I didn't get saved that day, that was my last chance. You know, I still believe it was.
Amen.
It was.
Yes, sir.
Godly sorrow. Work of repentance unto salvation not to be repented of. In Psalm chapter 34 and verse 18, I'm going to read you about four verses here. It's not so much what you do, it's who you are.
Amen.
Who you are. Says the Lord is nigh to them that are of a broken heart and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit.
Right.
In Psalm 51 and 17 says the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart of God without not despised. In Isaiah 57 and 15, he says, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that's of a contrite and humble spirit to revive the spirit of the humble and revive the heart of the contrite ones. Isaiah 66 and 2 says, for all things my hand made and all those things have been, says the Lord, but to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word.
Right.
It's not so much what you do, it's who you are.
Right.
Humble yourself before God.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, you know what Peter told Simon the magician? He said, repent thyself of this thy wickedness and pray.
Yeah.
And what would I tell you? Repent and pray.
Yeah.
Repent and pray.
Yeah.
Are you a stranger to God, carried away by your pride? Tell me, sinner, did you ever stop to think? Are you afraid to die?
Yeah.
Are you afraid? Are you unsaved?
Yeah.
Are you afraid to die? Turn it back over to Brother Scott. Close out however you feel, sir. That's my portion.